Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The presence of water on Mars has often been talked about in the past tense, as in billions and billions of years ago. But researchers are now finding clues that water could be flowing in the present, or at least off and on during warm seasons on Mars. Scientists at San Antonio-based Southwest Research Institute are reporting they're finding evidence of water flow on Mars. We're joined by David Stillman. He is a research scientist at the Department of Space Studies at Southwest Research Institute to tell us more about that. Welcome to The Source, David.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell me what you found.
So we were looking at these recurring slope lineae, or RSLs. I'll be talking about them, and they are they're dark finger-like features that incrementally lengthen downhill, and they start right before the southern summer on Mars. Well, actually, there's three different latitude bands of these features, and the ones that we studied were in the south, and so they start right before the southern summer, and then they end right before the summer ends. And so it's kind of been a mystery what's been causing these. Could these be liquid water or not? That they're occurring at many different elevations, some elevations that are even too high for liquid water on the surface. So they flow for about 100 Martian days. And then when we looked at when they were actually actively flowing, lengthening, we found that the temperatures when they were lengthening was greater than 273 K, or greater than the freezing temperature of pure water. And these are afternoon temperatures. So we kind of came to the conclusion that this is probably liquid that's actually flowing right now on Mars. Would you like me to continue on some other?
Yeah, let me ask you though. So on these slopes of Mars, we would see these through robot explorers, or is this
these images are from our spy camera that we have around Mars. In about 2006, we sent an orbiter there, a Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, and it's got an instrument on it that's the high resolution imaging science experiment. And it's like 30 centimeters per pixel resolution, so we can see really tiny little boulders on the surface, and this is the first time we've been able to see Mars at this resolution, and all of a sudden we're picking up these tiny black features that are incrementally lengthening. At their longest length, they go about 200 meters in the southern hemisphere here, and as I said, they lengthen for about 100 Martian days. So they're lengthening a few meters. We think they're lengthening a few meters every day. We only get pictures of an individual area like once every 15 days or so.
Now, we'd always thought that Mars, if there was any water on the surface of Mars, that because of lack of an atmosphere, that it would immediately evaporate?
Yes. Great question. So we've always thought that any water on Mars, especially these features, would probably be very briny. The salt in them would really help protect them from evaporating so quickly. But what we're finding is that the temperatures here are so warm that you could, and there are places on Mars where liquid water could be stable at the surface, at least the pressure would be high enough. Now, the relative humidity would probably be too low, so it would evaporate very quickly.
So anyway, like at the bottom of a canyon or something?
Bottom of a canyon, like in Valles Marineris, which is the biggest canyon on Mars, yes. But these features don't really, we don't only find them at low elevations, we also find them at high elevations. So what's happening is the water is probably underground most of the time. Now, it's not very far underground. We're only talking like 4 inches into the subsurface. And as long as it's a little bit underwater there, the way that the water is evaporating through, it actually can't evaporate quickly enough through the ground, through that very shallow, like sandy surface. And so you can actually have liquid water there, temporarily for a few hours every day. And it's also going to be warmer than freezing at those same times when we're actually seeing this darkening continue downhill. And then right there at the surface, that darkening that you're seeing is called more like adsorbed water. It's kind of like the water. If you were to take just a paper towel and put it on water, it would actually suck its way up, wick its way up to the surface. And that darkening is probably just the wicking. Of that water to the surface that is then making it darker and that we're seeing from orbit. So it's pretty neat that water, you know, even like right now, is probably actually percolating, you know, through a very thin subsurface on Mars.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question about water on Mars, give us a call or a comment. And the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org, or you can comment directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. So this has been the thing that we have been looking for, water on Mars, and we keep seeing different signs of different water in different states on Mars. We found recently, I think, that 2% of the soil, the regolith of Mars, may contain some form of water. And people were very excited about that. But this is even more astonishing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it wasn't really my discovery. The discovery was made a few years ago. But, my discovery was that, you know, this is probably doesn't even have to be that briny. I mean, the reason I started studying this is because I think this is the most exciting thing on Mars right now. And we're actually finding these all over Mars, not just in the southern hemisphere. We're also finding them at distinct points, really within Valles Marineris, which is this long canyon. It's five times deeper than our Grand Canyon, and it would stretch all the way from, like, New York to Los Angeles if it was on Earth. There's many different locations in there, you know, where these same type of features are coming out of the ground. And then we've got a couple in the northern hemisphere too, not as many. It doesn't get as warm in the northern hemisphere just due to Mars's orbit. It's actually closer to the sun in the southern hemisphere, so that southern summer is a lot hotter than it is in the north, and that's probably one of the reasons why we're actually seeing more of these features in the south.
Well, let's get a caller on the air. Ashley has called in. Ashley, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering how long a Martian day is, because you said it was 100. The water was flowing for 100 Martian days, but I was just wondering, like in Earth time, how long one Martian day was.
Yeah. So a Martian day is about 45 minutes or so longer than an Earth day. So it's still pretty close to the same length of time.
A sol, or is that
a sol? Yes. Martian day is a sol.
And so, but as you study Mars and the people who are running these robot explorers like Opportunity and Curiosity, they have to be on that schedule. So little by little, they get thrown off.
Right. Exactly.
Are you having to do that?
No, I've never been lucky enough to be on a mission like that.
All right, we're talking about Mars and the presence of water that's being discovered in all sorts of different forms on the red planet. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And so I want to find out more about this brininess of the water and what it means for the boiling point or freezing point for the water there. I think that's kind of critical in trying to figure out through inference what we can tell by looking at these satellite photos. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Looking at dark features on Martian slopes, they're finger-shaped. They change a little bit over time every season in Mars. This is giving the suggestion to people who are studying Mars that this is water, that there's water flowing on the surface of Mars. We're talking with David Stillman. He's a senior research scientist at the Department of Space Studies for Southwest Research Institute. And that was his discovery. And so, David, the water, but what type of water is this? If this is a briny type of water, that means a lot of salt, a lot of minerals in there, and that could kind of really change its boiling point or its evaporation point, its freezing point, right?
Yes, that's true. And that's these things were always thought to be, it's called like a eutectic brine, so like lots of salt in it, like 40% salt. And that's what we found, is that these things are really only lengthening when the temperatures are probably right around freezing, so they're probably not as salty as we once thought, and that helps out with trying to figure out how these things continue to flow. So we've watched these things for four Mars years, and a Mars year is about two Earth years, And so we've seen these things continually come back and come back and repeat. And so one of the biggest question we have right now is what is recharging these features? Because every time one of these long linear strips, you know, flows down, all that water would typically get evaporated, get lost to the atmosphere and probably redeposit at the poles or something like that. So how does this water continually coming back to the source? And it's a lot easier to find a way to actually recharge this water if you don't have to also recharge the salts, because it's really tough to move salt back uphill. With water, you can put it in water vapor and kind of trap it cold with cold ground or something like that, or maybe this is an aquifer coming out. It's really unknown.
That was my question. If we're talking about the possibility of aquifers on Mars, the planet itself, since the core is cold in Mars, right?
Well, so as you go deeper, you're going to have a geothermal gradient that's going to, you know, keep increasing the temperature. And people have thought about really deep aquifers, you know, that could still be there on Mars right now. These would be very shallow, and it really doesn't seem to make much sense that there are these very shallow aquifers on Mars right now. However, I do not have a good explanation as to what's recharging these, and especially closer to the equator than those ones in Valles Marineris, that big canyon. How you recharge those and how they flow almost year-round is a really difficult question to answer if you don't do it with an aquifer. So, you know, that's still, you know, heavily debated as to what's going on, but it's we're always finding more and more water, you know, if it's ice or these liquid flows, on Mars. And it's just it's a very interesting time to be exploring the red planet.
All right, let's get some more callers on the air. Ed has called in. Ed, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just have a question about the poles. I understand that during certain times of the year, the poles turn white, and the one time was talked about as also the possibility of being ice crystals. What's the latest thinking on that?
All right, Ed, thanks for that call. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, so the poles are very interesting. In the north, the north has a pole that's much similar maybe to Antarctica, where it's got big ice sheets that are like 4 kilometers thick. They're nicely layered. We can actually see that with radar. And every year, we actually sublimate a lot of the ice on there. So sublimation is like evaporation, except for it's just when ice goes to gas. So you get the sunlight, it starts heating up, and all this water vapor comes out, and this water vapor then gets redistributed, you know, down even into the southern hemisphere from the north. Most of it, you know, just kind of chases around and may actually end up in the subsurface, but it doesn't seem to be correlated with when we're seeing these RSLs at all, that little burst of water vapor from the north. Now, the south is a lot different. It's got a carbon dioxide, so like dry ice deposits in it, and then it's also got typical water ice, where the north is just all water ice. And again, it's about 4 kilometers thick, so you know, really thick ice, about how thick we have in Antarctica as well. And then about the whitening, I'm not exactly sure. It does seem to snow there, snow dry ice a lot of the time, so maybe that's what you're talking about. But the poles are a very interesting place on Mars as well.
Our phone number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about Mars, the presence of water that's been discovered on Mars, flowing water on the surface of Mars. That's a game changer for Mars. If you've got a question, give us a call, 614-8980. Our guest is David Stillman. He's a researcher studying Mars with the Southwest Research Institute. Scott has called in. Scott, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. My question was, since one of the main reasons we were looking into Mars in the first place was for extra resources, should we need them in the future? And I remember water being a really exciting thing to have found on Mars, because water would be one of the first things we'd be looking for. Should we have to resort to going to Mars for water? Is this water in any way, is it easily made potable, or is it contaminated in a way that we shouldn't touch it?
All right, Scott, thank you for that call. I think that water on Mars would certainly be, it would be hard to bring it back to the Earth for use, but it would certainly be welcome if you were going to Mars, right, David?
Yes, yeah. As any hiker knows, it's water is very heavy, and yeah, you don't want to be lugging all your water there. So it'd be nice to, you know, live off the land in such a way. And so these equatorial water deposits that they're finding, you know, especially in the bottom of Valles Marineris, the big canyon there, you know, if you could actually land in that canyon, they would be really good for you. You know, out in the south here, in the south mid latitudes that I was studying, you know, it does get pretty cold in the winter there. But this ice, yeah, I think you could definitely make it potable. You know, I don't really know, you know, what kind of salts are in there, but you know, if we could find a way to send a human to Mars, I'm sure we could drink this water.
Well, not just drink the water, but the water could be converted into oxygen and fuel.
Right, exactly. So it would be a great deposit, and you know, maybe this makes it more likely to send humans there.
You could use you know, the solar energy capture to break down the water into the two basic elements and use those things. Let's get Kathy on the line. Kathy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. My question is, what does your guest see for the plausibility of taking organisms from extreme environments on Earth and transporting them to Mars to terraform?
That's a very exotic idea. We've seen that in some science fiction literature, and people have a lot of fantasies about terraforming Mars. David, you want to take that?
Yeah, you know, it's actually kind of going on right now in the Mars community. So, in order for a spacecraft to land on Mars, it is not supposed to land in what's deemed area, special regions. And the reason that is because we're worried that if you don't clean the spacecraft properly, we can actually transport living organisms basically by accident and land in a location that would be suitable for life. And so right now we're talking, you know, are all these RSL locations now, you know, can a typical rover not go to these locations because we're worried about, you know, contaminating Mars right now. You know, we could actually send a spacecraft, but it would cost a lot more money. We'd have to really bake the heck out of it to make sure that nothing had survived, you know, maybe even dose it with radiation, something like that. So it would cost a lot more to build a spacecraft that could go to one of these special regions just because they're worried about introducing life from Earth there. You know, what I find interesting is, you know, could life actually right now be there living in these things? You know, that's you know, That's one of the reasons I like to study this stuff. You know, I want to find, you know, is there life out there? And, you know, I think this is a very good place to find exiting life that's currently there. You know, it'd still be very difficult for this life to live there, but we've got water that's really pretty warm. Yeah, and, you know, I hope someday we're able to search and, you know, see if there is any life. You know, as to bringing our own extremophiles, I think we could definitely do that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ethical, moral questions to be asked and answered and about whether or not if we actually had the technology and if we could terraform Mars, if it would be something that we should actually do. And that's, I'm sure, a conversation for another day. But talking about the possibility of life existing on Mars now, I mean, we know that there have been bacteria and that can survive extreme conditions and that can flourish when water is available, and then it can sort of go dormant when it's not.
Right. Right, and the only problem with these features is that we believe that they're very shallow, so they would still be exposed to a lot of the radiation, the really extreme radiation. Even though they're underground, they're still not really deep enough underground in order to get enough shielding from that radiation. So they would still have to be considered an extremophile because they would have to be able to bear that, you know, that big radiation dose. But, you know, life might have found a way.
Yeah, and billions of years ago, Mars was a wet planet. So there may have been life then at that time.
Yep, and you know, if these things are sourced from deeper aquifers, then maybe the life could be down there. And this would actually be a nice location since we probably couldn't drill down to those depths to actually sort, you know, sample that water that was coming out and see, you know, what is in this water, and you know, that would give us a really good idea of where this water probably came from as well.
Exciting questions for exciting time to explore Mars. Exploring Mars, you know, not firsthand, but, you know, through robots and observations and satellites orbiting Mars. David Stillman, thank you so much for sharing your discoveries with us. He is a senior research scientist at the Department of Space Studies at Southwest Research Institute. Thank you for joining us, David.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.